is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 232 in the series. In this session of the radio show, I share my conversation with Franklin's health director, Kathleen Liberty. We did a conference call, again, to adhere to the social distance requirements of this COVID-19 pandemic we're all in. Kathleen shares some insights into the current pandemic and what we can learn from previous ones, HIV/AIDS and H1N1. The conversation runs about 15 minutes, so let's listen in.
Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio. Today we're having a conversation with Kathleen Liberty, the Franklin Health Director. Kathleen, how are you this day?
Hi, good morning, Steve. I'm doing well, considering.
Considering, absolutely. Considering. We're all kind of in this pandemic together, practicing social distancing like we are here via this virtual connection. So I appreciate you taking your time. I'm sure you've been rather busy talking about one topic you'd rather probably not talk about too much, but there are other things that we can get into as well. But
yeah, it's been a real learning curve for the local health departments, including ours, getting through this pandemic, and actually, you know, trying to minimize the panic that's associated with it. And I thought if I spoke a little bit about some other pandemics that we've been through, that it will give some hope, because hope is contagious, right? And it will give some hope that in a year or so, you know, we'll look back on this as a memory, and it'll be a pandemic that we actually got through.
Agreed. Yeah, we definitely need to focus on, you know, without being too much kumbaya, the love aspect. But hope is contagious, and hopefully it'll be more contagious than the virus itself. So yeah, what did you want to get into on the global pandemic, perhaps even the definition itself, to go back to the basics?
Yeah, I think, it's important to get back to the basics. And people have a good understanding that a pandemic is an outbreak of global proportions, and it happens when a bacterium or a novel virus, and a novel virus is what we're experiencing right now with the coronavirus, becomes capable of spreading rapidly. And that is why we're in the position we're in right now, as far as, you know, self-isolating and practicing social distancing and doing what you and I are doing right now, doing something like this virtual, is so that we contain that rapid spread of the coronavirus.
Right. So let's break that apart a little bit, because I haven't heard it in some cases in some other media places. So since we have some time, novel coronavirus, that term. So there are multiple coronaviruses, and that's why this one is also the COVID-19. This is the specific one for this one, right?
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, the novel coronavirus is also the common cold. And for some reason, you know, there's a new strain. And that's similar to the pandemic that we experienced in 2009, the H1N1. Same novel virus, different strain. It's the science is behind it, and all of we're not looking at the science. You know, we're looking at how this is disrupting our lives.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, and novel, other than novel meaning a book to read, novel in this case meaning new. It's the adjective new in this case. So, while there are multiple, and from some of the CDC and other readings I've been delving into to make sure I'm somewhat fluent with what's going on, this is one of many coronaviruses. And yes, it is a new strain and thereby has pandemic proportions in this particular case because of the way it is spread and has spread.
Right. And, you know, I thought if I brought up some other pandemics that we have, like I said earlier, that we've experienced already, it might put a different perspective on what we're going through right now.
Absolutely, because I think perspective is very important for this to bring to everybody's attention. Clearly, we're all in it. This is not the first time. Unfortunately, it may not also be the last. So we need to learn from the past so that we can, you know, do better as we go forward.
Yeah, and I think, well, actually, I'm going to go back a little far, little bit further in history. For those who remember, in the early 1980s, we had another virus emerge called AIDS. And that was pretty much a very dreaded disease. And over time, a lot of time, it's now considered a chronic disease. So we went from such a horrible, such a horrible infection to something that is chronic and capable of living through now, right, with medications and and doctors and things like that.
So there's not an instant death sentence once you've gotten it or contracted it. There is at least in some cases, you know, more hope.
Right. And at that time, so when AIDS was discovered, it too had a major impact on our hospitals, just like coronavirus is having. And the worst part is they really didn't know how it was transmitted. And then, of course, when it was discovered how it was transmitted, you know, then we had to look at, you know, the socioeconomic factors that were associated with this particular disease, where that's not what we're dealing with right now. You know, this particular virus doesn't discriminate, pretty much like the AIDS virus kind of discriminates in my eyes, because it was, you know, the poverty level, the discrimination, the stigma, the, you know, other, you know, high rates of incarceration for young men, language barriers, immigration factors. We're not looking at that here. I mean, we're all in this together. And at that time in 1981, this is global, these numbers, but 65 million infections occurred in 1981, and there were 25 million deaths. And although that is global, that's not just here in America, that's quite a high number.
Sure.
And you know, our last podcast, Stephen, I talked about, you know, let's not forget about the flu, and the number of flu infections were, you know, much higher than the corona. And, you know, if we look back at this pandemic and how many millions it killed, it's just, it took a lot of education, awareness, and prevention to stop the spread, similar to what we're experiencing now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have any questions about that.
No, I think the one of the pieces that I think is a commonality, the virus and or the threat may be slightly different, but some of the cases or some of the preventions effectively are the same. You know, washing the hands, avoiding touching your face. Some of those basic steps are similar in multiple instances of, you know, avoiding a pandemic. But we're in it now. We just need to, you know, reinforce, at least based upon what we're learning, via the social distancing, via the washing the hands, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly. And although I wasn't in public health at the time, in 2009, a new flu virus emerged, and it was called H1N1. And that also was considered a pandemic. And before vaccine was available, we had 60.8 million cases and 274,000 hospitalizations and over 12,000 deaths. Still numbers that are staggering.
Right.
And so that's where I wanted to put some perspective as to what we're dealing with now. You know, our numbers aren't crazy like that. And although I'm just talking about America, to date, we've had close to 80,000 cases, a little over 1,000 deaths, and we have, which I love, is 1,863 recovered. And when we look back at the other pandemics, we don't have recovered. We don't have HIV, AIDS patients that, you know, recovered. You know, it's just, I'm sure we did, but it wasn't significant as it is here with the coronavirus. So I love the fact that we're looking at how many have recovered from this. Again,
yeah, I think that's helping to tell the story that, you know, it's not the death knell. There are options. It's helping to reinforce and put that perspective to your point as to where is this. And we're still learning. And fortunately, certainly from the HIV and H1N1, you know, we need to learn from those cases and how to do better in this case.
That plus, I think once there is a remedy, It's going to be similar to the flu. It gives the people a choice. You know, do I choose to not get a, you know, vaccine or take a medication, you know, and chance getting the flu, or do I protect myself? And once people have that option, then I think that that panic will go away, and it will become, it will just become another virus that, that we deal with. And, but the option will be there for us. And I think as, you know, people like that, they like to make that option about their own health.
Yeah. People like to be in control. And right now control is there only when we practice the social distancing, wash our hands, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. I was actually going to cover that again. So I want to remind everybody to practice prevention. We want to wash our hands with soap and warm water, 20 seconds. And if you don't have soap and water available, then you want to use a hand sanitizer that has 60% alcohol.
The at main least 60% thing, alcohol, right? Because there are others that have lesser concentrations, but it needs to be at least 60% to affect the virus in this particular case.
Correct. And the most important thing that I have been learning is avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Apparently that's, you know, huge as far as prevention goes. And I think if we become cognizant, we'll be surprised at how often we do touch our face. Mm-hmm. We do touch our eyes, nose, and mouth. We want to make sure that we practice social distancing. 6 feet. Yeah. Cover our cough and sneezes. We like to cough or sneeze into our, crook of our arm. But if we have to cough or sneeze into a tissue, make sure that we throw the tissue away in a lined wastebasket and then wash our hands for 20 seconds. So that's the CDC, that's the CDC guidance to practice prevention. And if we continue to do that on a constant basis, not just so much a regular, but constantly be cognizant of that, you know, we should be able to stop the spread of the coronavirus.
Well, at least minimize it, because from what we've seen with CDC and others, this is a droplet-based virus. That's how it gets spread. So by washing your hands, then at least you've minimized its contact with it. But then once you've washed your hands, if you haven't washed your hands, but you're touching your face, you're now spreading it to another part of your body. One of the things that I think I had picked up some number of years ago, and it was probably even prior to H1N1, that every time I went to the bathroom, clearly did whatever I needed to do, and I washed my hands, I always washed my face.
Really?
And it was just something I had picked up. And the thing that amazed me was, or how much I ended up going through the flu season without a flu or a significant incident. You know, maybe I have just kind of like sniffles for a little bit. But my own, you know, body sample of one by washing the face on a frequent basis seemed to have helped.
That's great.
So
that's great. No, I like that.
As I was coming back from my walk and keeping social distance with neighbors, as we were coming to each other, we were crossing streets, you know, making sure we maintained our distances.
Right.
But then as I came to my doorway, I ended up, you know, taking a photo of, you know, the flowers that are blossoming.
That's so nice.
We were very fortunate. Last year we went to Kenya, spent a glorious 2 weeks there. And while people have seen, or some people may be familiar with the Disney movie, The Lion King, mm-hmm. and Hakuna Matata, you know, that is a real thing. In Kenya, you know,
is it?
It is. So while you know, be happy, etc. However, it phrases their other phrase for that is the sun rises tomorrow.
Oh,
so they don't worry about today. The sun will rise tomorrow. The sun will rise tomorrow. Which you need that perspective. You know, right. We went through this by doing what we need to do: washing hands, social distancing, and as long as the sun rises tomorrow, yep. We'll get through it.
We're one day closer.
One day closer. Absolutely.
One day closer.
Well, thank you for your time today. I'm sure
welcome.
You've got a few other things to do, so we won't take too much more of your time. But I appreciate the work that you and your group is doing. Certainly the town is collaborating, and everybody, as far as I can see, is coordinating and collaborating appropriately. So as I've been at least walking around, I have observed mostly social distancing happening. I'm assuming that, you know, in some cases where there's a couple together, they are truly a couple. So that's right. Okay.
That's okay.
Thank you for what you do.
And oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Have a great day, Stephen.
Stay well.
Thank you. You too.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends or neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.